This morning, I've got an important public service announcement that I'm compelled to make to you. The public service announcement that I'm compelled to make to you is it's time for Christmas. In case you haven't known, it's time for Christmas. If it's time for Christmas, then what's it time for during Christmas? Well, it's time to be healed. I want to talk to you today about the 30th principle and why do bad things happen to godly people. And this principle deals with the principle of healing. There are times when God allows bad things to happen to you. There are times when God allows bad things to come into your life because God wants to heal you. God is going to heal you. And today we want to learn about how to be healed at Christmas time. We want to learn how to be healed of various diseases, of various infirmities, of various hardships in life. If we've got the scripture in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, let's look at this together. I want you to look at what's the first word in our scripture reading for today. All right, remember, anytime you see then, you got to find out when was then. We're going to find out when was then for Moses. It says, then Moses, now what's that three-letter word? Now that's going to be an important concept in this message. So if you've got an underliner, would you just go ahead and underline that? And just underline the word led. Then Moses led Israel from the what? The Red Sea. The Red Sea was a miracle. The Red Sea was the glory of all glories. It was the high of all highs. It was the phenomenon among all phenomenon. It was when God led them out of Egypt and led them through the Red Sea, and is when God swallowed up all of their enemies and defeated them right there by His mighty hand. But you know, you can't stay at the Red Sea forever in your life because God's got you on a journey to something better. Do you know God had something better for them than the Red Sea? God had the Jordan River in mind for them and the land on the other side. The Jordan River was going to be better than the Red Sea, but if God left it to us, we'd want to stay around the Red Sea. You see, the Red Sea was simply an exit from bondage. But the Jordan River is an entrance into life and its abundance. And God wants abundance for you. God wants victory for you. So Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the what? Oh, my goodness. Underline the word wilderness. Underline the word wilderness. I mean, if your choices are the Red Sea or the wilderness, how many would choose wilderness? How many would want to leave the spectacular for the barren? How many would want to leave the miracle for the misery? Well, that's what happened. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness. And they went how many days? 3 days. 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no what? And then when they came to Marah, when they found some water, they could not what? They could not drink the waters of Marah because they were what? Because they were bitter. Oh, my goodness. Can't we preach a while? Oh, my goodness. I want to talk to you about three things today about how you can find your healing at Christmas time. How you can move from the wilderness and from the bitterness of life into the healing and prosperity that God wants for your soul. Here's the first principle that you have to remember, that I have to remember. If it's time for Christmas, and it is, then Christmas is time for us to be healed, and we must face the burdens in our life. If you're going to be healed from something, you're going to have to face what you need to be healed from. In order for you to face what you need to be healed from, you're going to have to know that it's something you need to be healed of. Can somebody say amen? Amen. In chapter 15, verse 22, it says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Now, I'm talking to some people today, and your life can be described as a wilderness. But what is a wilderness? A wilderness is a hard place. A wilderness is a barren place. The wilderness is an isolated place. A wilderness is a difficult place. Is there anybody within the sound of my voice that your life is a hard life right now? Your life is a difficult life right now. Your life is an isolated life right now. And can we understand that sometimes God leads us from the miracle of the Red Sea, God leads us from the majesty of His presence to the isolation of a wilderness. Why? Because He wants us to face the burdens that's in our life. Now let me show you what happens here. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no what? They found no water. Now, it's one thing to have hard things in your life because you've caused them. But you see, they didn't do anything to cause these hard times. They didn't do anything to cause these difficult times. They didn't do anything to contribute to this journey that they're on. They were led into the wilderness. You know, it's one thing when you make the direct contribution into the hardships of your own life. We can sometimes swallow that a little bit easier because, you know, I did this to myself. You know, I brought this on me. But not every hard place in your life, not every hard season of your life, not every difficult trial in your life is of your doing. Can somebody say amen? There's some times when you've got bad things that have happened to you and you have absolutely no reason why other than that you were following the will of God. You were following the glory by day and the fire by night. And you were led right into a hard place, a hard time, a difficult trial and hardship. Did you hear about the young boy who opened his lunchbox at school one day? And he opened it up and there it was a peanut butter sandwich, and he said, "Peanut butter sandwich. I didn't want a peanut butter sandwich today," but he ate it anyway. The next day, he was at school, and at lunch again, he opened it up, and there it was, and he said, "A peanut butter sandwich. I didn't want a peanut butter sandwich," but he ate it anyway. And then the next day, he opened up his lunch, and there it was, a peanut butter sandwich, and he said, "A peanut butter sandwich. I didn't want a peanut butter sandwich." And the boy next to him that had been there all 3 days says, "Hey, if you don't want peanut butter sandwich for lunch, why don't you tell your mother you don't like peanut butter sandwiches?" He said, My mother didn't do this. I make my own sandwiches." But he ate it anyway. You know, there are times when we've made our own sandwiches and we eat them anyway. But there are other times when somebody else has made her sandwich, but we got to eat it anyway. There's some of you that are in a wilderness, and you got to endure it anyway. You might have led yourself there, or God might have led you there. And in their case, Moses, being led by the Holy Spirit, by God, led them from the Red Sea right into the wilderness. God specifically led them into their wilderness. So why did God choose for them to live in the wilderness? Well, the answer to that is given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Listen to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, God says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you." All the way that the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness. And then he gives them the four reasons that he led them into the wilderness. Number one, to humble them. To humble you. Number two, to test you. And number three, to reveal what was in your hearts. And number four, to see if you would still obey him, even though you didn't agree with him. Sometimes God leads us into the wilderness because he needs to humble us, because when we're humble, we are dependent upon him. And God wants to reveal what we've brought into the wilderness. Now, here's the hard thing. The wilderness didn't pack their heart full of the stuff that was in their heart. The wilderness revealed what was already in their heart. And that's what we need to understand, is that if we're going to be healed at Christmas time, if we're going to be healed, we're going to have to face the burdens that are in our life. And one of the questions that we want to know the answer to is, why has God led me in the way that He has led me? And I can assure you that it won't be much different than it was for Israel. He wants to humble you. He wants to test you. He wants to reveal what's in your heart. And He wants to see if you will continue doing His will even when you don't understand. Can I get a witness today? That's why that was such a prophetic word that God was setting before us, is, Lord, even in my wilderness, even in the burdens that I'm facing, I'm going to still believe in You. Can somebody say amen? Well, if you're going to be healed, if I'm going to be healed, we're going to have to face the burdens. You see, God is not like any other teacher that you've ever known before. You see, God is not like any other teachers, because other teachers will test you, will teach you, and then they'll test you. But God will often test you, and then He'll teach you. Can somebody say, I don't understand that? Every trial, every trouble, every tribulation, every hard place you've ever been in, God's willing to teach you great and mighty things that you do not know, and you never would know if you're willing to be taught. Amen? All right, so the first thing we've got to do, we got to face our burdens. What burdens are you facing in this wilderness season of your life? What's the hard place? What's the dry place? What's the isolated place? What's the difficult place that you're in? Are you facing that burden? You see, if we deny that we have a burden, if we deny that we're in a hardship, if we deny that we're in bad times, then we don't face them. And if you don't face them, you'll never learn from them. And as soon as you're willing to face what God's trying to reveal, then He's ready to heal. Amen? Here's the second thing. We not only have to face the burdens in our life, but while you're facing those burdens, you're going to have to fight the bitterness. You're going to have to fight the bitterness. Can somebody say, oh me? Now look at chapter 15, verse 1. Well, we've talked about this before. What's the first word in chapter 15, verse 1? Then. When was then? After they'd crossed the Red Sea. Now, what were the children of Israel? What were the children of Israel doing 3 days before they went into the wilderness? According to your Bible, 3 days earlier, your Bible says, then Moses and the sons of Israel did what? They sang a song. They had a song in their heart. Who were they singing to? They were singing to the Lord and said, I will what? I will sing to the Lord because He is highly exalted. Now listen what they were saying. They put this together on the spot. I mean, this was a prophetic song. The horse and the rider, He has what? Thrown into the sea. The Lord is my what? He is my strength and my song, and He has become my what? My salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him. But look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. But 3 days later. You know, a lot happens in 3 days. A lot can happen in 3 days. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were what? Now bitter. Now, who led them to the Red Sea? God. Who led them through the Red Sea? It was God. Who led them away from the Red Sea into the wilderness? It was God. And who led them to Marah? It was God. Now, do you think that this took God by surprise? Oh my goodness, these waters are bitter? I did not know that. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had another travel plan for you. How many of you know that so many times when you are right in the center of God's will, being led directly and specifically by His Spirit, that you'll end up into some bitter places in life? Now, what I say to you is that the wilderness didn't put the bitterness in them. The wilderness revealed the bitterness in them. for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people did what? Grumbled. They murmured. They complained at the man who 3 days earlier they were singing and leading the praises of Moses for leading them through the Red Sea. You see, it's not a hard thing for God to get you or me out of Egypt. It's a longer process for God to get Egypt out of us. And that's what God was doing by leading them through the wilderness. He said, I got to show you some things that are in you that you don't like. And you won't even probably acknowledge are in you. But everybody else around you will know that they're there. So we have to face the burdens. And we have to be willing to fight the bitterness of hard times in hard places. Can somebody say amen? Amen. How about you? Is your life hard? Is your life difficult? Is it not what you thought it would be at this stage and this place in your life? Well, God gives you basically two options for conclusion. You'll be bitter or you'll be better. But sometimes before you get better, you've got to acknowledge how bitter you become. And how do you know when you become bitter? It's when you complain and you grumble and you get angry and you get mad at anything and everything around you except the right thing. Anger always has an object, not always the right object. And bitterness is one of those things that others can see in you before you see it in you. How many of you remember a lady in the Bible named Naomi? Yeah. Naomi's name means sweetness. It means pleasantness. And she went out of Bethlehem, the house of bread, in a season of famine with her husband and with her children. And she went into Moab, which means God's washpot. That's a nicer word for wilderness. So many times when we leave the house of bread, we go into the washpot of life. We go into the dirtiness of life, the emptiness of life. And in a short season of time, her husband died, her sons died, and she inherited two pagan daughter-in-laws that she didn't love or want anything to do with. She did the best she could to send one of them away, and she went. But the other one said, no, I'm not going with her. I'm going with you. Whoever your God is, it's going to be my God. And wherever your home is going to be my home. And wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge. And wherever you find bread, I'm going to find bread. And Naomi says, well, all right then. That's the way it's got to be. So they saddled up together and they went riding back in to Bethlehem. And when they rode back into Bethlehem, all of the people saw that it was the family entourage that Naomi was a part of. But when they saw the woman sitting on the ride, on the camel, she said, is that Naomi? Is that sweetness? Doesn't look like sweetness to me. And then you know what sweetness said? Don't call me sweetness. Call me bitterness. Because the Almighty has dealt harshly with me. You see, we have to face the burdens in life. And we have to fight the bitterness of life. Don't get bitter in your wilderness. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Still make your declaration, Lord, I believe in you. I don't understand this wilderness. I don't understand this pain. I wouldn't volunteer for it. I don't want it myself. I didn't pack this lunch, but I'm going to eat it anyway. I didn't make this sandwich, but I'm going to eat it anyway. I didn't cause this, but I'm going to endure it anyway because I believe in you. Fight the bitterness as you're facing the burdens. Amen? Oh, if you're willing to face your burdens, if you're willing to face a fight the bitterness, then here's number three. Here's number three. Then you'll find the blessings. You will find the blessings. Now, look at chapter 15, verse 25. What's the first word in verse 25? then, all right, you got to remember, if then is when is then? 3 days after they left the Red Sea, 3 days after being in the wilderness, after the children of Israel began to grumble and complain and gripe because the waters were bitter, then he cried out to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord showed him what? Woo, glory to God. He showed him a what? He showed him a tree. And what did he do with the tree? He threw it into the waters. And what happened when Moses cried out to God and God showed him a tree and he threw the tree that God showed him into the waters became what? Sweetness. Oh my goodness. Do you know that God can take and turn the bitterness of your life into sweetness? And it all begins with the tree that God wants to show you. Amen? Oh, what happened? What happened is an incredible thing. Has the Lord ever shown you the tree that can turn the bitterness of your soul into sweetness? It's what we call the old rugged cross that Jesus Christ died on. I remember the time and the place when I brought the bitterness of my soul, the wilderness of my life, the barrenness of my spirit to the provision of God. Somebody told me that Jesus is God who died on the cross for my sins. They told me that he loved me in the condition that I was in, and there wasn't anything I could do to make him love me anymore, and there wasn't anything I could do to make him love me less. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to pay for my sin. And beloved, I want to tell you, Christmas is not about a baby in a manger, but it's about a sovereign on a cross who took and bore our sins upon himself right then. And when you take and cast your soul on the finished work of Jesus Christ, he'll take the bitterness of your soul and turn it into sweetness to the Lord. What's the first thing that needs to be healed this Christmas? I believe it's your soul. If you've never given your life to the Lordship of Jesus, would you be willing to say, God, I believe in you. I believe in you, and I believe that his name is Jesus because he's going to forgive his people their sins. That's what Christmas is all about. There's an ugly side of Christmas. Christmas is about sin and God's cure for sin. And every human soul has sinned and is separated from God and must be born again. And I want to tell you, I point you to the tree that Jesus died on. And the old rugged cross will make a difference for you because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, but let's look at this a little bit carefully. One of the benefits that God has made available to his children through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, is that through his stripes, we can be healed. Amen? One of the benefits God's made available to his children is the gift of healing. If God can heal your dead soul through the atonement, the finished work of Jesus, how much more could he do with your mind, your body, and your spirit? How much more could he do with that if he can heal your dead soul? Now, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, listen to what God says. And God said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and if you will what? Do what is right in his sight. Then what does God tell you? I will put none of these diseases on you which I've put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your Rapha. I'm your healer. We're not asking God to do something. We're asking God to be something. Just be who he is. He is your healer. Amen? Oh my goodness, so many times we miss out on it because we're trying to get God to do something when we just need him to be something. Yeah. Let him be who he said he'd be. I am that I am, says the Lord. I am Rapha. I am Jireh. I am Jesus. I am the Lord. And I do not change. Amen? now. Is there anything that you need to be healed of today? It begins with the examination of the soul. Have you ever brought your bitter soul to Almighty God and say, I can't do anything with it? Religion just makes it stink even more. And good works just aren't enough. I can't be good enough to be perfect with you. But you said I couldn't be good enough, but you said you were good enough. Would you be willing to come and say, God, I am facing my biggest burden of life today. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, and I need to be healed. And God says, if you'll do what's right in my sight, then I will not put this burden on you. I will heal you of your unredeemed soul. God will save you. He'll heal you. And He'll make you in a right relationship with Him. But it begins through Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. I strongly believe there's somebody here today that you've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And God has brought you to this humble place in this specific setting because this Christmas you're going to receive the gift that keeps on giving. You're going to receive the gift of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to be healed of your dead soul? Number two, I believe as I've prayed over this that God not only is willing to heal your soul today, but I believe there's somebody here today that you need to have your mind healed. God will heal your mind today. You're not crazy. You've just got a fortress of lies spinning in your mind, and God wants to heal you today. I believe there's somebody here today that God is willing to heal your body today. God will heal your body of an infirmity, of a sickness, of a disease that you have. But you must give earnest heed to His voice. And you must be willing to do what is right in God's eyes. And then number four, the fourth thing that I believe God's willing to heal today is God's willing to heal your soul. He's willing to heal your mind. He's willing to heal your body. But I believe God's willing to heal your relationships today. I believe there's some relationships that need the divine touch of healing from God Himself. Wouldn't that make Christmas a better Christmas? If God healed your soul, healed your mind, healed your body, and healed your relationships.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.